I want to put together two things which seemingly are fairly disparate. I think there's a lot to think about. Really, there's a lot of connection between the two of them. First one, the famous kasha, Rishel Salanta, Ritzel Glaser, brings that the question which they grapple with, why the Russian make Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? Logic, there would be a logic to argue that, you know, let us go through the process of tshuva, process of tahara, the process of kapara, and then have a din. Right? If you come into the din, you know, cleansed, pure, then it would be very nice for Yom Kippur's purpose to have Rosh Hashanah beforehand. Second question, which first glance has no shaykhus, one of the problems we have with the learning of Musar, avoid the Musar, is people get to a point of Yish. Atzvus Yish, you know, it's frustrating grappling with the same issues, dealing with the same issues. I've dealt with this before, I'm not getting anywhere. You know, I once raised the Sora to my Rosh Hashiva, Shiva Chaim Stein Zichli Bracha. So he told to me, he says, what do you think? What do you think I feel like when I come to Rosh Hashanah and I'm grappling with the same issues I was grappling the year before? I say, you know, I've been grappling with this just for 40 years. He says, yeah, I've been grappling with them for 80. And I'm like, you know, now what do you think? You imagine what I feel like. He says, it didn't make me feel any better. I went looking forward for the next 40 years to be grappling with the same issues, you know. So you make a little bit of progress, etc. But we get to the point where sometimes, you know, you get to, you know, just yush. You know, I'm not such a good person. I have problems. That's me. You know, Rosh will just take me away. I am, you know, I'm going to burn a gehenna and just let me, you know. So I'm loyal. I once had a person that I had to deal with. That was his attitude, to the point of he's contemplating, just get it over with already. He's much quicker. Just get it over with. He just couldn't deal with the emotional angst. So I had to deal with that. Why is that? You know, Rishel Salanta makes such the deyesha that the Musar is allows a person to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu properly. The Alter from the Vardik said that he never met the only person he ever met in his life who was truly happy was Rishel Salanta, because he learned Musar. So you know, so in our view, in our understanding of the world of Musar, you know, Chassidus makes you happy and Musar makes you like sad, you know. There's a zug which it can't have been said by a Baal Musar, but the zug says that Chassidus makes it's in Yiddish, you know, it even makes dancing kosher, and Musar makes even crying treif. Like there's nothing's good enough, you know. Like everything's bad, you know. Like, you know, so it's like, you know, like, wow, okay, shkaya. So that's what you feel like. So what are we missing? We're missing something in that avoida. What are we missing? What's the problem? And again, those two things seem to know shaykhs, and I think that the Betzim, they're very, very connected to each other. Rebbe Chasman and Oryal sells in the Medrash. The Medrash says that we lay in the Torah from Hosea. Hosea was from Shevet Ruvain. So the Medrash says, why was Shevet Ruvain, Hosea, Nobi from Shevet Ruvain, Zoycha? Why was Ruvain Zoycha that his Nobi from his Shevet should be the one who says, Shuv Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha? That message of Tshuva, which became the primary message of how we present the concept of Tshuva. Why from Ruvain? So the Medrash says that the Baruch Hashem told Ruvain, you were Pesach, you introduced the idea of Tshuva to the world, and therefore the Nobi from your Shevet will be the one who introduced Tshuva to Klal Yisrael. So Leib Chasson says, I don't understand. Parashat Medrash said, Adam the Tshuva, Kain the Tshuva. What do you mean Reuben was the only one the Tshuva? We know Rashi mentions the Chumash, right? You know, Rashi says that Reuben was being Oisik Asaka with Tanisoi. He's Bilbo Yitzoy Ovi, he's Oisik Asaka with Tanisoi, but he wasn't the first one of the Tshuva. So what does it mean that he was Pesach with Tshuva? So Leib Chasman says that what Reuben introduces the following. So a person gets on a ship and he needs to travel. Books a ship going, traveling to the east. He gets on the ship a little bit. He notices the ship is traveling west. He says, no problem. So he starts walking east on the ship. So he's traveling east now. He says, It says a person does tshuva. If a person doesn't do tshuva to the underlying issues, so it's not going to work. It's going to bite or schlep him in the other direction. What Reuven introduced was recognizing that the root of our issues is not the veira, that there's something going on in our psyche, in our midas, in our subconscious, which is pulling us in that direction. And he searched for that, and he sought it out, and he found it, and he worked on it. And that's the message, that's what Reuven added to Klal Yisrael above and beyond what Adam had done and what Kayan had done, etc. So Yisrael says, okay, so you want to work on that. So many times, what seems to be first glance, the area, even if you move beyond the Veira, and you want to work on Tshuva and Amida, many times the Amida that you're working on is not even the Amida that has to be worked on. Right? So, I mean, the most obvious example, the classic example which I mentioned before, right? So a person has a problem with Gaiva. He always talks about himself. The guy is always talking about himself. I'm such a wonderful guy. You should like me so much, etc. Right? So he has to learn Musar about Anivas, right? And that's Pasha, right? His problem is Gaiva. Maybe not. Maybe his problem is low self-esteem. And the only way he can feel good about himself is when he constantly gets good feedback. So he starts learning Musar about Anivas, right? The low self-esteem. He says, "Musar, you're talking no good, and you're talking bad." Shkoyach. He made it worse, right? So he guarantees that the guy will fall apart. You haven't solved the problem. So if you don't really know what the root is, it's not going to work. Okay, now he realizes that's his problem. So, I mean, how do you solve that problem? Learn Musar, I mean, I had a guy in yeshiva, his problem taka was that, so he says, in my days at least, we actually had Musar Seder, so I told him, I says, for Musar Seder, I want you to sit for 20 minutes, Musar Seder 20 minutes, and repeat over and over again, "I am special." He says, are you crazy? He says, no, that's exactly what you need to do. That's what you need to work on. He says, no, but he gets a geschmack and a high out of learning this Musar about how horrible he is, and that's really what gets his kishkas. I said, okay, that's your problem. Now, I told him, he says, you need a sefer. Nobody uses an English sefer and tells the basic matter. He says, read Gateway to Happiness, I told him, during Musar Seder. He thought I was joking. I said, I wasn't. That's what he had to work on. But how do you get a person who's not happy to become happy? That's his avoider. So he still says you have to recognize that the root of the problem is deep down in our psyche. It's in our subconscious. How do you change the subconscious? It's not rational. So that's where we still introduce the concept of the Musar Bihi Spilus. Musar Bihi Spilus means that the true way to learn Musar. I remember when I first came here. One of the Rebbeim mentioned to me we should make Musar Karusas. I looked at him like, how kill a Musar with a Karusa? Musar is the process of a human being interacting with himself and understanding himself. How kill him with a Karusa? I don't know what he was talking about. So my yeshiva where I came from, they learn Musar with a Karusa. I said, oh, okay. I've never seen it. Does it work? He says, well, how do you know? I says, do people change after learning Musar with a Karusa? Okay. So a person learns, opens up a sefer, whatever sefer it is, and he starts learning a ket of Musar. And the first step is to understand what it's saying. The Bali Musar, we're talking about Sosha Sharam, the Vilna Goyen said, there's not an extra word over there. You're not sure what he's saying. You can't start, absorbing it because you're not sure what he's saying. So you have to sit there with the Gemara cup for a second, work it out. Okay, you cop what he's saying, and you feel that this message is something which, some way, is relevant to yourself. So you learn what the niggun he says, and you repeat it, because the niggun helps to go in. We know the niggun is a very powerful element of right? And you repeat it. Because the messages which we've been telling ourselves, which cause us to do these problems, we haven't told ourselves once. We told us these messages hundreds of times. The person says, the person says, I can't overcome Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, that's just me. I just need the, We haven't said that message to ourselves one time. Reb Revda wrote one time, somebody asked Reb Revda Zichron Bracha, he says, you know, that he used to say Shmuz, and Reb Revda could say Shmuz for 2.5 hours. He was quite a phenomenal speaker. He could actually hold your attention for 2.5 hours. But Lamai says, you know, it wasn't common to have 2.5 hours Shmuzin. In Europe, historically, that wasn't uncommon. Like, you know, the Rabbanim would say a drasha could be 2.5-3 hours long. But in America, the attention span is more like 5 minutes for, you know, people who have developed their ability to listen for long periods of time. And for the average person, it's about 30 seconds. You know, like, you know, but 2.5 hours? So he said, you know, he says, you know, can you tell me how many hours there are in a week? So that was already putting the guy on the spot because he's, you know, higher math, right? But he figured it out eventually. There's 168, right? So he finally got this number over there. He says, okay, how many hours of the week does the Yetzirah get to talk to you? He says, so basically we're telling us, okay, so we're having this war, and on one side the fellow's bringing in cannons, you know, and tanks, you know, and airplanes, and you want me to use a BB gun to respond. It's not going to work. I get at least 2.5 hours, it's okay. That was his response. Right. We've been telling ourselves these messages. We've been accepting these issues. We've been accepting these facts that we have constraints. We have problems. We can't overcome. We have difficulties. This is something which we feel is enjoyable. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, we've been telling ourselves these messages hundreds and hundreds of times. And until it sinks into our reality, it becomes our reality. Some person says, oh, change. What do you mean change? This is where I've been for the last 10 years. Change. Rabbi Tversky one time said, you know, there is a campaign by one of the president's wives, you know, just say no. You know, so he says his response was that the average person who this message was addressed to, with people with addiction, etc., the answer is why? You know, just say no. Convince me why I should say no. You know, just say no. Like, you know, just go tell the homeless, get a home. Like, it's just so easy. Just get a home. But they can't. Just change. I can't. He says, okay, so you learn that kata hundreds of times with a niggun. You can learn it for 20 minutes straight. 20 minutes straight, you can say something, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're Yeshiva, and we talk quickly, you know. You know, at the average human being speaks about at a third of our speed. But you can repeat it a lot of times in 30 minutes, in 20 minutes, a half an hour. You know what? If it's relevant to you to the next day, do it again. What's your rush? Where are you going? So start sinking into your reality. That's hispilus. That's the event most of the hispilus. Okay, it starts sinking in. And the more the person learns it, the more a person realizes how much he isn't there. And I'm working with somebody who's had a problem which I've been aware of for many years, and he's finally becoming aware of it. And one day he just realizes his innocence. Oh my, honey, look how bad I am. And I was like, wow, it took a few years to get into his mind that reality. And it finally sunk in. He's depressed. Right? That's... Now, why are we depressed when that happens? So Revolva and Ali Shur and Caleb Bays, as beautiful piece, he says, we're depressed for two reasons. First of all, we don't believe we can change it. So if we don't believe we can change it, it's very depressing. So the best solution is just don't think about it. Because we all like to be good people. Everybody. If you ever are so inclined... You know, there's some fascinating articles which have been written. You know, secular articles are written about the thought processes of people who are in prison for horrible crimes to explain why they're not bad people. And they all believe that they're good people. Just nobody likes to be a bad person. Tells the Rabbi Shir Das, says, you know, Yaakov goes to love and he says, Rachel Bitka Ketana. Like, what was he thinking? Like, what's he going to accomplish? Like, love doesn't care. Laban wants to take advantage of Yaakov. Like, what does that Laban care? Well, I said Rachel. You might think that stop Rachel from the shuk. I met Bitka. You might change the names. I said Ktano. I have you topped. Like, Laban cares. Yeah, Laban cares. I'm not a bad person. I wouldn't cheat somebody. That's the deal. There's a minigam bunkum. What do you want from me? I can't help it. It's not my fault. There's a minigam bunkum. We ask him to give him. But I should mamish go and be a bad person. I'm not a bad person. Lovin isn't a bad person. Yaakov knew that. Lovin said, I'm not a bad person. Lovin perceived himself. He's a very nice guy. I wouldn't cheat somebody. We're all good people. One day you wake up and say, you know what? You look in the mirror, you know, I'm not a good person. It's very painful. So what's the solution? Get a mirror which says you're the fairest of all of them all. You know, you go into the House of Horrors and they have these mirrors which distort things. That's the mirror that we look at. I'm a big masmid. You know, had Bacher told me he learns a lot during the day. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting perception. You know, I didn't want to burst his bubble because he wasn't ready for it yet. I'm not sure he would absorb it. Like, you know, let's define hasmada. Like, the Stipler has a beautiful description of what it means hasmada. He says, a Bacher should sleep 8 hours a night. We're about this, yo, Shlita, remember he spoke, came to tell us one time this week, he says, you know, the most important things that Bacher needs to know is they have to sleep 8 hours a night. He says, Bacher doesn't get enough sleep, he cannot function. He will give him to the Yetzer Hara, he will end up wasting his time. Person who is well rested can really focus. Okay, 24 hours, minus 8, 16 hours left. Davening, so the Stipler gives this cheshbon. Rishiva told us, or Gibson told us, that when they were in Telstone, a little bit of history for those of you who haven't heard my stories already. So in 1977, the Rishiva left Cleveland to start a branch of Tulsa Rishiva in the city of Telstone. That's why it was called Telstone, by the way. It was a combined effort between Irving Stone, as in the Stone Chumash, and tells Yeshiva to create the city. They raised, each one committed to raise half of the money. Raised them half of the money. Irving Stone contributed half of the money himself, and tells Yeshiva raised the other half. That was the arrangement. And they were going to create a city. It was called Telstone. Really, the name of the city is Kiryat Yarim. Okay? And Rav Gifter was going to start a yeshiva, which was going to build up. The Meister, Rav Baruch, was Nifter, and he came back about 2 years later. But during that time, he was in Telstone. So one time, he went to visit the Stipler. Yeshiva was very close with the Stipler, Zichron Livracha. And he walked into the Stipler, and before he said a word, the Stipler says, I hear in your yeshiva the Bacham don't sleep enough. I want you to go and say over my name that Medav, you have the Bacham need to sleep. And if they don't sleep, they're going to be such a maratz and they won't understand the Pasha de Mishnah. This is what the Stipler told her, gifted a goal, tell the Bacham in yeshiva. I know the guys in yeshiva, these guys were Masmidim, Matsumim. They were guys who were Geshmaka guys and very good at learning. And they taka learned. They weren't wasting their time. But the Stipler said, go to sleep. So Shiva told us the story. It says, I went back straight, you know, Moshe goes from the Har to the Am. He went straight to Mitzvedesh, gave a cop to Mitzvedesh. I have a shlichus from the Stipler. Right? The Stipler said, everybody has to get more sleep. And all the Bacham smiled at him, went back to their learning and ignored it. Right? That's how the Shiva described the story. Oh, good. Okay, so the Stipler makes a cheshbon in the letter. The Stipler makes a cheshbon in the letter, Bacham should sleep 8 hours a night. Good. Davening, he cheshbons out, davening should take about 2 hours a day. Shacharis, Mincha, and Marav together should take about 2 hours. We actually have more time than him because our davening doesn't take that long. But in his world of davening, right, Shacharis, Mincha, and Marav would take 2 hours. Leaves you with 14 hours, thank you. Okay, good. Leaves you with 14 hours in your day. It says 2 hours a day, a person needs time to relax, to eat, you know, to take a walk, take care of his needs. That leaves you with 12 hours a day. That's Hasmada. 12 hours a day. This can grow some Isa. Right? Davening is over. 7:30 is davening. Davening is over, let's say, your argument's sake. We'll call it 8:30, right? Breakfast, a break. A person needs a break. At 9:15, he sits down to learn it. He learns till 1:15. He learns 4 hours. Lunch break. He takes an hour. So he took 45 minutes then, an hour then. That's not a good idea because it's too much time. Okay. So he takes, again, 45 minutes. He has an hour and a half. Starts learning again. He learns till supper. So 1:15. Starts again at 2 o'clock. Learns again till 6 o'clock. Another 4 hours. Supper. Takes a break. we'll give him a little extra time, gives him an hour to chill out, etc. He says, I'll learn at 7, he learns till 11, he goes to bed. He got 12 hours in his day. Okay, he didn't have to stay up late, he didn't have to eat mishugana. He got 12 hours of learning in his day. The disciples said, okay, you got 12 hours of learning in your day. This is a little bit off topic, but I want to point out, this guy was learning on the average about be'erich 6 hours a day and telling me he's a masman. So how am I supposed to, what am I supposed to tell him? That's what he believed. Because he wanted to be a masman. He knows it's important to be a masman. It's very painful to realize you're not a masman. So he looked in the mirror and said, you're a masman. There's a mirror which you can buy, by the way. It says on top, you are a masman. Right? That's the mirror that he has. So one day, he learns some Musar, and he looks in the mirror and says, you're not a masmid. He's always mensch. So the second problem, Revolver says there's two problems. A, you don't believe you can fix it, and B, your gaiva was touched. I don't want to be a bad person. And in the world that I live in, that's a very important thing. So I've just destroyed myself. Very painful. Says, what's the solution? The solution is that you don't solve problems in the world of regish. Right? Person, oh, he's right. Masilsa Sharm is the sefer which the Bali Musar recommended to learn, and I always found this Masilsa Sharm is a fascinating sefer. Masilsa Sharm is it's a sulam of aliyah. It's a program. It's like the ten steps. You know, 12 steps. The 12 steps, right? So we have the 10 steps. You do Zahiris, and you work on Zahiris, and he explains what Zahiris means, and then you go to Zahiris. But it's a program. Again, it's very like organized with a thought process. And he says, as a matter of fact, if you learn Masilsa Sharm, he says, so the first parak is, he's building it on a Brisa in actually based on a Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Kiseitse, right? Brisa in Avodah Zarah in the first parak. When he shmarta me called up a raw, the person has to be Sharma himself. Etc. Says, what is a hearus? What is a hearus? Be very careful, right? How would you describe the hearus? What do you do? Right? You learn a lot of Musar by being careful. Says, no, that's what it means. It means you make a cheshbon, a nefesh, every day. You get up in the morning, you say, what am I going to do today? You make a cheshbon, a nefesh at the end of the day. How do you do? What can I do tomorrow? What do I do wrong? What can I do better tomorrow? He says, business people do that. Person wants to grow. He says, a person has this great idea. He's going to make this great business. He can make a lot of money. Da, da, da. He's all excited. He's spyless. He's spyless, right? Business be he's spyless. You know what happens to business which are built in he's spyless? Anybody? They die. Yeah, right? They fall apart. Businesses work on plans and checking yourself and keeping records and seeing how we're going and what's the problems and what are the issues and correcting them. So the Sistrum says, that's what it means, Zahirus. That's the Bali Musar Sefer, like the Bali Musar, which are all about inspiration and excitement and Musar, and they learn, it's like the driest Sefer you could ever learn. Yes, that's exactly the point. So Yisrael says that there are two parts of the avodah. There's his spyless. The purpose of his spyless is to point out the issue to you and to get a message inside. Then you must turn it over to the seichel, and the seichel will figure out what to do with it. What do you do with this? The seichel says, you know what? This I can fix. This I can't fix. And seichel knows everything can be fixed. It might take a year. It might take 10 years. It might take 50 years. But that's the goal. That's what we're here. That's the program. That's what we're here for. And the guy next to me doesn't have this problem. I happen to be a very antsy guy. That's my nature. I need interaction with people. It's part of my being. The guy next to me is a very quiet guy. He's very happy to sit by his table and learn. So his program, what the Russian put him in the world for, is different, nothing to do with me. Well, I shouldn't be looking at him. That's in the world of he's spyless and the regish, etc. I'm very jealous of him. In the world of Seiko, what am I jealous of? Just think through what your role is. That's a logical thing. The Brashim didn't make all of us the same. A very logical thought process. The Brashim gave me a purpose. The Brashim gave me the kelim that I need to work on this purpose. And whatever my issues are, obviously I need to work on them. And obviously if the Brashim gave them to me, I can do something with that. It's the most logical thing in the world. If I'm not a bad guy, I'm a guy who needs to work. You know what? Shalom Aleichem. We're all like that. But the Hispalus doesn't say that. The Seichel says that. So he says the first step of the process, after you got the message in, you must immediately give it over to the Seichel and let the Seichel figure out what to do with it. And that's Vesil Shashar. Torah, maybe the days of Hirus. Torah means the message of Chavis Adam Elamai. The person gets the message that he has a purpose in life. And each person has his purpose. And the Brashim gave him his kalim to do his avodah. That's all part of that message. It might take you years to get that message. But now that you get the message, what do? So you start keeping a ledger, Zatim Mishil Shasharim. You start keep making cheshbonos. You make a plan. You make a goal. You have to figure it out. You take a goal. You go to a goal-seeking course for all I care. I don't care how you do it. But there has to be a thought-out process of what you're going to do. Right? Okay. What's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the Yom of Hispailus. It's Yom of Malchus. It's a pachad of the day. It's Mamash a pachad. It's Yom Adin. At the same time, it's Yom of Malchus. There's a feeling of Ava. There's a feeling of Yira. It's Mamash a day of... it's pachad. Is that the more Rosh Hashanah? You blow a shofar Rosh Hashanah, it should be a shofar which is kafuf. It's bent. Gemara says, because of Rosh Hashanah, the more bent over you are, the better. Shofar Shal Yom HaKippurim, the halacha is the shofar of Yovel. Once every 50 years, there's a mitzvah deraisa to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. And we learn actually the halachas of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah from Yom Kippur, many of them. The shofar of Yom Kippur, the more said, should be with a Yael. Not from an Ayel, which is a ram's horn, but from a Yael. Ibex, everyone translate the Yael, let's say an ibex, which is straight. Because on Morses and Yom Kippur, the main thing it should be Yosher. So it means Rosh Hashanah is the day of Hispailus. Yom Kippur is not the day of Hispailus. Yom Kippur day is about making real change. It's a day which is Yosher. It's thinking things through. How am I going to make something different? What am I going to do that differently this year? So what do? Rosh Hashanah, we have Halabai Yispailus. Yom Kippur, it's full of Yispailus. You missed the point. Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur because I need to wake you up. I need to wake you up and say, you know, this is not acceptable. This is really not good. I got to scare you, shake you up a little bit to scare you. But that's not the goal. The goal is to make real change. You don't make real change and I'm never going to do it ever again. It's so horrible. I'm never going to do it again. You know how long that lasts? Maybe to the next morning. When you go back home, Ben Azmanim, and you say, hey, I hear you in the Shishim and Silverstein. What's it like over there? Are they being nice? They learn a lot over there? Are the guys geschmack? They're being nice. Sometimes they're not so nice. Oh, it's Lashon Hara. Boom, blew it. Okay, I'm not going to do it again. Right? Say, by Milch, you meet some other friends. What's your plan? What's the plan? How are you going to not speak Lashon Hara if you haven't worked out a plan? You didn't do tshuva. You had to be spineless and you're excited and you're worried and you're inspired. But you didn't change. Because there's no plan. Tshuva means you have a plan. It has to be with seichel. Now I have to tell you, it's a big, very big problem because I'm not sure I'm supposed to say this. I find one of the biggest challenges to doing tshuva in Yom Kippur is davening. Because you're busy davening. You're busy davening. You're busy davening. You know, if I would be confident that people would be spending their time doing tshuva, I would say, let's daven a little bit less and let's do tshuva. But, you know, they're not going to do tshuva anyway. At least daven a little bit. Okay, you know. Like, is that the attitude? So the answer is, do it beforehand. That's why I'm saying the shmuz is now and not Erev Yom Kippur. So a person says, you know what? I'm being despoiled, hopefully, a little bit. So, you know, it's Yom HaDin is coming, Rosh Hashanah is coming. In general, the Baruch Hashem is carved to us a little bit, so we feel a push that we want to change a little bit. I'll prove it to you. There's more guys here doing mishmuz during Elul than there is the rest of the year. I know that. That's the way it works, right? Okay. What would you like to be different next year? What would you like to say when I come to Erev Rosh Hashanah, going to the year of Ayin Ches? How would I like to look? Where would I like to be? What would I like to have accomplished? What would I like to have changed? What would I like to have fixed by that point in time? Okay? A lot of things. Great. Make a list of them. Then take that list and cut it in half. And then cut it in half again. Because that's why he's spyless. Yeah, I'm going to... Okay. Okay, so I'll go last week. It has to be real. Yom Kippur, you come to Yom Kippur, you're standing in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu. The one thing that's important, be real. It means, Rosh Hashanah, yes, I'm going to change. These are the areas which I really thought about a lot. They're important to me. I'm going to change. I'm going to make them different. And this is my plan. So the Ben Yonah says in Shari Tshuva that there's two primary elements to Tshuva. There's Azivas Achetz and Charata. What's the order? He says a person who basically is doing the right thing and one time makes a mistake, the main thing is first Charata. Just stop for a second and realize what you just did. You just blew it. You haven't ever done this before. You should regret that terribly. That'll take care of the Azivas Achetz. So the person who's Amisyatze Baderech Loi Tov V'Tomid, that's me. I'm not doing this right. I'm doing this wrong for many, many years. The first step is stop. Correct it. Fix it. Find a way to do it. Figure it out. What's your plan? How are you going to be different this year? Charata, the hispilus, the emotion, some other time. Not now. It gets in the way. 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, you'll worry about the charata part. Not now. So why does Rosh Hashanah come before Yom Kippur? Because we need something to wake us up and say, you know, you got to change. So Rosh Hashanah says, you know, there's this thing in the air, which is a message of there has to be change. But that's not the final goal. Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur, and the Yom Kippur is what comes last. The final goal is the change. The final goal is the tahara, is the kapara. It's being a different person than you were before. Really, not, yeah, I'm going to make it happen. And it's honestly saying you're excited about it, and you want to make it happen, etc. But if you haven't really worked out why you're going to be different, and how you're going to be different, what you're going to do to make it different, what are your challenges? You want to make a goal. So you take a goal, you read a goal setting book for all I care. Go to what do you do? What are your obstacles to making this happen? How are you going to overcome those obstacles? What motivation are you going to give yourself to overcome those obstacles? I don't have any plans for that. Okay, great. So I can guarantee you that your goal is not a goal, it's a dream. It's a beautiful dream. I'm happy that you're dreaming. But you're dreaming. I want you to dream. Rosh Hashanah makes you dream. Yom Kippur makes you real. When a person doesn't like that, when a person understands that the purpose of these spirals is to give it over to the world of Seichel, and then the Seichel might say, you know what, you can't fix this year. You're not ready to fix this. It's too entrenched in you. You haven't done enough work on it. You can't fix this. Seichel can tell you that. That's fine. It was thought through that I'm not ready to deal with that. That's what I spoke about last week. I'm not ready to deal with that yet. Good. This I could. That's the other thing I could work on. This, it's too entrenched in me. I can't. Fine. Seichel can tell you that. He's spiraling, says that, but you know, you're depressed from that. Because you're not approaching it from the thought process of Seichel, you're using your spiraling. But you're supposed to use these spiraling, get inspired, and then close the spiraling book, close the Regish book, and use the Seichel book. And that's relationship. Why? When you don't do that, you end up being depressed. Because that's in the world of emotion. And we do with that, what it accomplishes for you, it becomes a motivation to change. Rav Yossel has finished. Rav Yossel says that, you know, the Russian promises us, the person opens a pasuk kechudosh machat, Lashon the Medrash actually is, the Rosh says, if you open up a opening the size of a Chudosh HaMachat, of the eye of a needle, I will open up an opening for you which is so large that that wagons can flow through that. Big shar with wagons going in and out. You know, picture, you know, the pictures, you know, these big ancient shaorim of the cities, you know, with, you know, that's how big it's going to be. So Yisrael says, I don't understand. We never, I mean, it's not happening. We're not getting these big openings. We don't see these people like all of a sudden like changing, major changes in their life. They never got that opening of Chudosh HaMachat. Like, what happened? The Bereshit promised if you make it open. I mean, we've all had it here at Shuva. We've had the Chudosh HaMachat. So why doesn't it work? Why aren't we making phenomenal changes? So why? I mean, why aren't all my yeshiva bachim walking around mamash looking like little tzaddikim lach? You know, every the whole year. I mean, you are, but you know, I mean, like, but looking like them, you know, okay, right, okay, right. She says, you know, there's different types of holes. His way of making a picture. I'm sure he said the shmuzah took him a half an hour, but I'll give it to you in 2 minutes. Says you can make a hole in water. You stick your hand in the water. There's a hole there. There's no water there anymore. You pull your hand out. The water goes back. You make a hole in butter. You stick your finger in. There's a hole there. It sits a little while. It sort of like melts back. You make a hole in wood. You know, sometimes you make a hole. You drill into hard metal. It's there forever. Chazal said, Chudosh HaMachat. It's a hole in metal. It has to be, it's fine. I don't care how big that opening. I don't mind. But it has to be real. It has to last. That's the Pesach. If a person makes a change, a real change, even if it's a small change, but it's a real change, that's a Chudosh HaMachat. He comes the next Erev Hashanah, a year from now. He's not, you know, I'm the same guy, but I always happen to be right now. I don't speak Lashon Hara every day, every Tuesday, between 1 and 2. That's you know, I'm the same guy, but. No, you're not. You're a different person. Your whole mahus is different. You're a person who's in the world of Avodah. You've really worked on yourself. You've changed yourself. And you realize it's possible. Your neshama is been purified through the process. You're a different being. That's the power of real change. Shir Das gives a marshal. He says a person goes to a field, and there's a large field, a soccer field. Picture a soccer field. No grass on it, totally flat. Sesame seeds covering it. One sesame seed high. Just covered with sesame seeds. One sesame seed high. There's one mashugana, spent 5 years of his life putting out sesame seeds there, right? Okay? How many sesame seeds are there? Billions of sesame seeds. Now you add a second layer of sesame seeds on top of that. What have you added? Billions of sesame seeds. Do you see the difference? Almost you don't see a difference. A human being is great. His neshama is great. His neshama affects all the olamas. A human being makes a mahushu of a change. It went up, a sesame seed high, spread out over billions and billions of miles, over a whole Bria. That's what real change means. That's not little, that's gigantic. He says, and furthermore, when you add sesame seeds on top of sesame seeds, the bottom sesame seeds stay the same. A human being makes a mahushu of a change, the whole being is a different being. Us with our godless Rav Neshama, the impact of the Russian plans that we should have on the Bria, any forward movement is a tremendous accomplishment. And we shouldn't disparage it in any way, shape, or form. We should recognize it's a tremendous accomplishment. But it has to be real. And the goal of the Hispalus of Rosh Hashanah is to awaken in us the desire and the awareness that we must change and we can't continue to live as such. And the goal of Yom Kippur is to find a way to make that real. What is my plan? I'm going to do a real tshuva with a real process and a thought process of how I'm going to be different. That what I do undertake will last. That when I come to Erev Hashanah, next to Erev Hashanah, a year from now, Bershom, you know what? I did change. Amashahu. But it was real. And if it was real, the Bershom will give us, Bez Hashem, a cheshbin of tshuva, kilo was a tshuva shleim.